your host, St. Peter, for today. It is take 243, and welcome to our second round of Films to Be Buried With, taken inspiration from the podcast with the same name. Last week, you heard about all the films that I, aka Keeks, your St. Peter for today, wanted to be buried with. And now we're going to do the same, but with the illustrious, the talented, the ballinest, the baldingest, the beardiest, the bestest friend that anyone could hope for, the moviest guy that's ever existed. He is a smart guy. He is a school. He is a school counselor. He is a basketball trainer. He is a film lover. He is a honey lover. He is a Kennedy lover. He is one of the most talented people you could ever hope to do anything with a very silky smooth voice and the charisma, the riz that everyone hopes that they could ever have. It is Tanner LeBaron, everyone. Why don't you give him a nice little hand? Welcome to the podcast.
That was a great intro. You had me at beardiest and baldiest.
I was just trying to go with those alliterations, getting the same sound words out there in the same sentence. Barely.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Keeks, great to be here. Love the intro. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready to tell my life through film.
Now, I know that you just said that you were feeling good. Unfortunately, and fortunately for you, you are feeling even better. One, because you're not on Earth anymore, because you just died and you have now gotten up here to heaven. Tanner, how did you die? TC, how'd you die?
Well, I decided to be very adventurous, and I joined this Facebook group just because, you know, I was feeling like life was mundane, and this Facebook group decided to go to Costa Rica and do a surfing trip, which I am not a surfer. So I decided to join this trip. I put on my most Johnny Utah Bodie like Point Break and join the surfing trip, where the surfing did not pan out very well. So as you can imagine, I was rocked by a heavy wave. I tried to outrun it, but then all of a sudden Jason Statham came out of nowhere riding a Meg, and the Meg swallowed me up. So there you have it.
That absolutely did not go where I thought it was going to go. Did it hurt? How bad did it hurt?
There was a little bit of pain in my legs, and then that's all I remember. And okay, Here I am in the next life. So from Costa Rica to surfing to Jason Statham riding the Meg, trying to prevent another disaster, but the shark won, and it got me. It ended up getting me. So yeah,
now you have made it to the afterlife. Do you believe in an afterlife?
I do. Yeah, I do. I don't like death. I am afraid of dying. I think I'm afraid of how I'm going to die, or even how like my loved ones are going to die. I just don't like death. I'm not at peace with it yet, but I do believe in an afterlife. I do believe that we will see the people that we care about and love. So I don't know how it works out. But I do believe that. I think there is some exciting things after this life, and I hope that some questions are answered when that time comes.
We're both on the same page with that one. We have reached now. You are here. You've just passed through the pearly gates. I just let you through. I give you your key badge that you can get in and out. What is your favorite thing? Because heaven is made out of all.
Oh, man. My favorite thing. Man, this is a good question. Man, it might be just, you know, having a night where I just have some Wingstop, go to some movies, hang out with Kennedy, hang out with some friends. I'm going to just say, you know, it's a night just where I'm relaxing. My favorite thing, let's just go with Wingstop. Let's say it.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you're able to, you know, Wingstop. Now, what wings specifically?
Oh, we're going to go with a 10-piece bone-in Louisiana rub, 5, spicy Korean barbecue, the other 5, and a nice just Coke with limited ice with a side of fries. So that just hits the spot. Every time I've had Wingstop, it's always been accompanied by something good. So that's why I love Wingstop so much.
I like that. You know, you tried to get me onto Wingstop for a long time. It took a bit, but then I finally figured out what I liked. It's great. The fries there are honestly some of the greatest fries.
They are really good. And the ranch, I don't know what they put in that ranch, man, but the ranch is good. It's like a perfect texture, not too thick, not too thin. And like I said, every time I've been to Wingstop, it's always been for something like exciting or good, like a movie, a concert, or just hanging out and seeing people that you love to spend time with. I remember going to Wingstop right after LSU beat Alabama in 2019. And I just hit up everybody. I'm like, I'm going to Wingstop to celebrate, or I'm going by myself. And like 8 people showed up. So that was a good memory.
It truly is the place where people go to gather. It yes. really is, at least for us that I've seen. So now that you've made it here, you've gotten past the pearly gates, your friends and your loved ones are around. They want to kind of get to know you better. They want to understand who you are. So let's start here. What was the first ever film you saw or remember seeing?
So I have 2 answers for this. For theaters, it was Phantom of the Menace. It was Star Wars Phantom Menace. My family, we were living in Moab, Utah there, and I loved living in Moab. We were there for like a year, and that was probably like one of my most cherished memories from my childhood was that year in Moab. There was like a water park. Star Wars was coming out. I believe it came out in May, Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. And there was just a bunch of advertising for it like I've never seen before. Like, it's just a vivid memory. And there was one theater in Moab, and my 2 older brothers, no, my just my older brother. The other brother was on his mission, so he wasn't around. But my other brother took me and some other friends. Like, we waited outside. We saw Phantom Menace. And that is the first film that I remember seeing in theaters. And it was just like a pivotal memory. So,
okay, so Phantom of the Menace, okay, Phantom Menace, long-standing joke on the pod, first movie saw in theaters at home. Do you remember like the first movie you remember seeing at home in general?
Yeah, it was, I gotta say, it's between Hercules, the Disney animated Hercules, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. It was one of those 2. So those were the 2 other ones that I really remember seeing first. But yeah, Phantom Menace is the one that sticks out where I'm like, yeah, I remember seeing that in theaters. And that was the first thing. The first film I remember seeing for sure. So, yeah.
Awesome. Now, this one I kind of already know, but I am curious to see what your answer is what was the film that scared you the most? And do you like being scared?
I think everybody that's listened to this podcast, even if it's just once, knows that I do not like being scared. I generally do not like horror movies. I don't mind suspenseful, scary movies, but when I was 12 years old, my older brother really, really wanted to go see Aliens versus Predators. And my mom was like, that's not a good idea. And I was just like, yeah, I want to go. Like, I want to spend some time with my older brother and like go see this movie. And that scared me so much. I slept in my parents' bedroom for like a week. I could not believe my eyes what I was seeing on screen. It was like claustrophobic. It was intense. It was people were being killed off left and right. It was just the perfect storm for me that I hated. So Aliens versus Predators was the scariest movie that I remember seeing as a kid. And it really, truly left a dent.
Wow. Isn't that what I think I've seen Requiem. I've not seen the first one.
And I actually really would like to rewatch Alien versus Predators just to be like, okay, I've come a long way. Like, it's been 18 years. I've come a long way. So Alien versus Predator, that gets my film that scared me the most.
Okay. And now kind of going to the opposite side of that spectrum, but maybe still kind of similar feelings, is what was the film that made you cry the most? And are you a crier?
The film that made me cry the most and is honestly one of my all-time favorite films is Warrior. I love Warrior, specifically the scene where Tommy is in the hotel room and his dad has another relapse. I feel like that scene is just like, oh, it's heartbreaking. Like, it's a heartbreaking story with the family. I think the performances are phenomenal. It's a good story. And it's my favorite sports movie. And yeah, Warrior just made me cry, made me sob. I would say I am a little bit of a crier, but I'm like you, what you said last week, I try to hold it back. But sometimes when they flow, but, yeah, I can definitely get emotional during a movie, but normally they're kind of like light tears or like, oh, I feel my heart dropping. I'm on the verge of crying or getting emotional. But Warrior was the one where, yeah, that made me cry the most, like during the movie.
Cool. I love it. Now, speaking of I love it, this is also going to have to do with I love it, but even more so is what is a terrible film, but you love it.
Oh, man, this was a good one. This is a good question because I had a thing about this, but I kept going back to this film, and I think it's such a blast. It is bad, but I think it's pretty good. 1995, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, it's better than the newest one.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is top five best video game movies ever made. Like, I will die on that hill that Mortal Kombat 1995 is actually good. I mean, yeah, a lot of the reviews bomb it, but I love it. This is a film that I love. I think it's like, it's a sweet from me. It's like probably like a B+. I just think it's pretty good.
It is. No, it's, I mean, especially like Annihilation is awful, but the one from like 2021, not as good. And it's 26 years newer and still not as good.
Bummer. Bummer. But yeah, Mortal Kombat, it's a fun watch. Like, it's pretty, it's campy, and I think it follows like the video game pretty well of creating that world, and the fight sequences are cool and the characters that come in, especially if you played the game. I think Mortal Kombat's a blast.
Cool. Okay. What is a film that is acclaimed by audiences, but you don't get the hype for it?
Never understood it, man. Never understood. I've seen it a couple times. That is the Pixar film WALL-E.
Oh, yeah. this is a classic TC.
I mean, you're telling me you'd rather watch WALL-E over Incredibles, Finding Nemo, Toy Story, Up. I know it's like IMDb top 50. I don't see it. I think it's boring. Animation's fine in it. I just don't like the story. Just it doesn't have that sweet early 2000s Pixar, mid 2000s Pixar feel to it. And I just don't like WALL-E. I will. That's another hill I will die on, or wave like in Costa Rica that I died on.
Shark
is WALL-E. So there you have it. That's a film that I stand by that I don't like.
Yeah, I've always found that to be interesting. And I do kind of. I was starting. You know, I was talking actually with my brother-in-law the other day about Coco, and he doesn't love Coco.
Oh,
and when you think about it, like I like Coco, but the Pixar greats are like greatest films of all time.
Yeah. Oh, they're good. They're good. But WALL-E, yeah, I still remember watching. I was like, oh, what is this? What is the love for this? So, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, what is a film that you once loved, but watching it recently, you realized it's not as good as you remembered?
So you said this last week, and I was like, dang it. That was my answer. I agree with you. I think it is Rush Hour. When we rewatched those movies in 2020, I loved those movies when I was, you know, like a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then rewatching them, I was like, these aren't as good. It was a little bit of a bummer. So
yeah.
I got to piggyback off of what you said with Rush Hour. I also wanted to add a new one that I watched last summer that I loved as a theater experience. That is Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
Oh,
rewatching it, I was just like, yeah, I don't remember this. This isn't as good as I remembered it. So I'm going to go with those two.
I dig it. Okay.
Yeah. I was a little bummed by rewatching War of the Worlds. And you basically said what I, you basically said how I feel the same way with Rush Hour. It just hasn't held up.
No, not very funny.
Yeah.
Not very funny anymore.
Yep. Unfortunately. Okay.
So, what is the film that means the most to you? Not because of like the film itself, but because of the memories you have of it.
Oh man, this is one of my favorites. This is one of my favorite movies. I understand it isn't like an A+ quality, but to me it is because of the memories I have of it. This comes circa 2010, Christmas break, senior year. Tron Legacy.
Okay. As soon as you said 2010, I'm like, oh, I think I know what it is.
Came out in December 17th, 2010. It was senior. I don't know what it was, but Christmas break when you were in high school was special. It was mm-hmm. the time to play video games, hang out with family, hang with friends, go see movies. Both my brothers were in town and they wanted to go see Tron Legacy. I hadn't seen the first one. I think this is a film that they watched growing up, was the first Tron. And so we went to the Jordan Commons Megaplex IMAX 3D. It was my first IMAX 3D experience. I didn't get to see Avatar in theaters. So this is my first IMAX 3D experience. And I was floored. I felt like I was in the grid. I loved the soundtrack. I think it's the best soundtrack to this day. Daft Punk really messed around and created the best soundtrack. The first half of the movie is so fun. It kind of meanders a little bit in the second half, but it's still so fun. Like the memories I have behind Tron Legacy are sacred. Like I love this movie and it's probably my favorite theater experience I've ever had.
I love that. Theater experiences, there really are, like, everyone has, I would say at least 2 to 3 movie experiences that like are all time memories for them.
Yes. Yep. That really elevate like the movie. Like to me, Tron Legacy is like a B+ mm-hmm. type of grade, but dude, it is just special to me and I give it an A+ suite.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and yeah, that's, you have been on the record of saying how much you love Tron Legacy, so that does track.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like the visuals, like, man, I loved it. I still do.
Cool. Okay, most romantic film.
Oh, this was a hard one. I don't watch like a lot of romantic films. A couple come to mind, but I kind of have to lean towards one because I thought it was fairly realistic. I thought the chemistry was great between the two leads. And I thought the comedy was good too. I think I'm going to lean towards When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know you've seen that.
That was, I believe, a first time watch of 2021.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was first time watch of 2021. Yeah, I think Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are great in it. It's a buck and a half watch.
Oh, we love
light
those.
Watch, and it's like I said, it's funny and it's just, it ties everything up in the end. So that one's good.
So I thought you were gonna say About Time.
About Time to me is more. I know the two leads, like, you know, end up like it's romantic, but like to me, that movie really means more of just like spending time with loved ones. Like,
yeah.
When I think about that movie, I think more about the relationship between the son and the father, more so than Rachel McAdams and Donald Gleason. So that movie did come to my mind, but I was like, nah, that's not really like the Rachel McAdams and Donald Gleason. I think it's more of like the father and son relationship and that is created. So that's my interpretation and my feeling of the movie About Time.
Okay. I like that.
Also another emotional movie that got me a little emotional there.
We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the romance aspect. What is a film that isn't probably supposed to be sexy, but you found yourself a little turned on by it?
Oh my gosh. I have two. And I think Becky will really appreciate this answer because that is the early 2000s Scooby-Doo. This movie, I think, is rated PG, mm-hmm. but I remember I was just like, holy crap, Sarah Michelle Gellar looks amazing as Daphne. And then Velma. Who plays Velma again? What's her name?
Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, they are both like super, you know, beautiful. And then you have Freddie Prinze Jr., who looks great.
Also beautiful.
Yeah, also beautiful. So I just remember that movie being like, whoa, like these people are hot. And I was not expecting to be like this kind of, you know, moved by Scooby-Doo. Another one I want to mention is Batman and Robin, Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. That was a movie where I was younger that I was like, she's kind of, yeah, she's pretty sexy. So
even more so, Batman Returns, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Scooby-Doo, though. Batman and Robin gets a hard second there. Terrible movie, Batman and Robin. But again, another movie that's like attractive people.
That is true. That one's kind of supposed to be, you know, you get a little bit of that sex appeal. Yeah, Scooby-Doo. I don't know if that's what they were going for in that children's movie.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, it really was like eye opening for me. Like, I still remember the joke where they switch bodies. And I was just like, whoa, what if I switched bodies? So that one definitely. Scooby-Doo is a bad movie, but it is fun. It is a fun movie. It's fun. That's like another one that could be what film is terrible, but you love it. Scooby-Doo is right up there with that.
Don't let Becky hear you say that.
Yeah, but it's still good. Like I feel it out. It's still good.
Okay. What is the film you most relate to?
This one was hard too, because I couldn't find like a movie that I was like, yeah, I totally relate to. This is probably the hardest question for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a kid, I loved this movie and I still do. I remember watching it in 2020 when we did our first movie bracket.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be The Sandlot, dude. I love The Sandlot. I'm not a huge baseball player, but I love the new kid moving in on the block, being accepted and welcome to this new friend group that plays baseball. Their adventures of trying to retrieve the baseball, coming to clash with, is it Gladiator? What's the dog's name again?
Oh, Titan? Hercules.
Hercules. Kind of on the nail.
Yeah, sure.
But I just love the adventures that the neighborhood kids, you know, have to deal with. I've been in that situation where I've been like a new kid at school, a new kid on the block, and I've met like wonderful friends, wonderful people that have kind of, you know, welcomed me into their circle of friends. And so The Sandlot has that sweet charm of having good people in your life, especially friends, and you continue to talk to those friends. So I loved my childhood. I loved like the neighborhood I grew up in and the friends that I was able to make in those neighborhoods, and, you know, playing outside, night games, basketball outside. So that's kind of what The Sandlot means to me.
Okay. I like that. Kind of a simpler time almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Which film is objectively, it is the greatest ever.
So yeah, this is a question where I could say like easily Godfather, Lord of the Rings, which yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute. Goodfellas, all those great movies. But to me, what really got the ball rolling, I was rewatching it the other day. It's The Wizard of Oz, dude.
Oh, sheesh.
1939. Dude. Like what that did for movies is amazing. And like anybody can watch Wizard of Oz and have a good time. Like what you can get from it, the stories that are told, the black and white at the beginning. And then when Dorothy goes to Oz and it's all colorful, the music is great. Just everything you can kind of relate to a little bit. It's just that fantasy and it sweeps you off your feet. So yeah, I think for me, objectively, the greatest is The Wizard of Oz.
Wow. That's actually like that's a pretty like big brain answer, actually. I did not see that one coming, because I haven't seen it in a while. And, but oh my gosh. Yeah. 1939. The movie is 84 years old.
It's like, it is jaw dropping, like how good it is for 1939. Like you could, you're probably thinking like, oh, this was made in the 80s or maybe even 70s, but it's like, you're kidding me. 1939. Yeah. It looks good. It sounds good. The acting is great. It's just whimsical. It's charming. So I'm going to go with Wizard of Oz, and it's a tight, like hour and 40 minutes gets in, gets out. So I got to go with Wizard of Oz. When I was talking to Kennedy about this, she said hers was The Sting. And I was like, that's a good answer.
Oh, like, dang.
Yeah.
That is a really great answer. Wizard of Oz. Okay. Which film is the one you've watched the most?
I think everybody knows this about me. Lord of the Rings. It's my all-time favorite movie. It's the one I've watched the most, the whole trilogy, specifically Fellowship of the Ring. I used to watch it all the time when I was younger. I watch it like once a year. It's like that perfect November, month of November watch. So I just love it. I love the adventure of Lord of the Rings and everything about it. So Lord of the Rings, one I've watched the most, without a doubt. I'm one of those annoying people that will like quote and say the next line. I hate it, but I love it.
You have to do it. Yeah, that's like the fun of movies, especially when you're with a crowd and everyone's kind of aware of what's coming next. You got to quote it. It's so fun.
Yeah. And I remember like my brother lived in Logan and I would go visit him and a couple times he'd always put on Lord of the Rings when we'd like fall asleep. And then I remember I visited my grandparents out in Mississippi when this was hitting theaters. Mm-hmm. And we went and watched it in Mississippi. And I just remember I was floored by it. A little bit startled and scared by the ring wraiths. But man, everything about it was so good. Like I loved how it all buttoned up in the end. And it was just, So
I remember seeing the trailer for the first one. Like I remember being in theaters and seeing a trailer for it. I guess what, maybe 2000, something like that. And being like, whoa. And then my parents wouldn't let me watch them because they thought it was going to be too dark, which I think to a degree they were right. And then the third one I got to see in theaters, and that was huge.
So good. So good.
Wow. Okay. So on Sweet Film Talk, we like to be positive about movies because any movie that gets made is a miracle. But what is the worst film you've ever seen?
End of Evangelion, Neon Genesis.
I always kind of hate this answer, but I do get it.
I know. Don't let those people on Letterboxd, those fans, know that I said this because they will come for your necks. That's been fun about
Letterboxd. They really will.
I understand. I haven't seen the series. When I watched this, I don't know. I felt like homework watching this because we're doing an IMDb 250. I didn't understand a thing that was going on. I thought it was pretentious, but again, we're trying not to be negative here at Sweet Film Talk. It is a miracle that it got made. I know a lot of people love this movie, which is great.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I just didn't understand it. So it's the worst film that I've seen. I would say another movie that I thought was really bad that I can't believe I actually sat through in theaters was Noah with Russell Crowe. That wasn't good either.
I would love to see if you were to watch like the series of Neon Genesis Evangelion, even then, I do not know if your opinion would change.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it wouldn't. One day.
I don't think so, but maybe. We'll be honest. I don't know if you're ever going to watch. I think you should watch the anime, though. And maybe it would change your mind.
Yeah. You know me.
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the film that's made you laugh out loud the most?
Man, I got to go back to my younger years. This is a movie that I remember I showed my family. And before the like first line was said, I was giggling so hard. I was in tears. My dad was like, "What is going on? Are you okay?" Napoleon Dynamite. Napoleon Dynamite made me laugh so hard. I mean, it was all the rave when you and I were younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so funny. Like, I love the deadpan. I love the sarcasm. It's just, Napoleon Dynamite is so funny. So Napoleon Dynamite was the one that made me laugh out loud the most.
Okay. I mean, that is a great answer as well.
Yeah.
That movie still is so, like, effortlessly funny.
And then kind of like what goes hand in hand with that is Nacho Libre. I remember watching Nacho Libre just last year, and I was still belly laughing.
I think it's his direction style. Like Jared has his direction style. Just like no, like the comedic timing for it is so good.
It is really good. It is, yeah, it's funny.
Okay. Jesus, I've actually just received a message from him, and he says he wants to sit front row with you in a theater of any film of your choosing. What movie is it?
Man. We're like front row, like necks up.
I mean, yeah, as when you think about it like that, it's like, oh, that sucks. I don't want to sit in front. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, the best spot in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with IMAX, baby. 2014, Interstellar.
Oh, heck yeah.
I want to watch this with him and just be like, okay, talk to me about galaxies. Talk to me about black holes. Explain to me, could this happen? I would love to watch that movie.
I kind of want to add a bit of a follow-up question. If yes. You could get the answer to one, like, mystery of the universe question, you get asked one question and know what it is right now, what would it be?
How many other worlds like ours are there?
Oh, I like that.
Is there one other? Is there two other? Is it just us? You know? Like, yeah. How many other, like, Earths, like, that are functioning like us are? Because I you know, we've heard in, like, scriptures and whatnot that there are more, but I would love to know, like, the exact number.
Okay.
Of so. And, like, have we, you know, I believe in UFOs. I believe in aliens a little bit to a degree. So it'd be, like, also, that would be, like, another question. Like, I think Area 51, that kind of stuff fascinates me. Like, I love alien movies. So it'd be interesting to be like, how many times have we been visited and how many times has it been covered up? So that's another one I'd like to ask.
I've got some good alien movies to pass on to you after we get done with this.
Oh, please do. Like, yeah. I love. So Interstellar kind of has like that alien space type vibe that I just adore. So Interstellar is one of my all-time favorite watches, and this would be a cool movie to watch with him.
Okay. Well, we've all enjoyed you talking about the movies that have left an imprint on you, movies that have meant most to you. Now, as you got swallowed up by that Meg, you're getting digested, you're just about to die, and you notice that the Meg has swallowed an entire blockbuster, the last blockbuster of its kind. You know that your time is coming to an end, you're about to get digested and die. You run into that blockbuster, and you grab a movie that you're going to take with you to show everyone in the afterlife. What film is that?
Spider-Man 2.
Oh, sick. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's get some Sam Raimi. Let's get some Peter Parker going. Doc Ock. Let's watch one of the greatest action sequences on a train ever. We're watching Spider-Man 2 in heaven. I think people need this. They need to watch a fun action flick of, you know, a superhero figuring out his place in the world. And it's going to be Spider-Man 2.
And it does a great recap in the very beginning. So, like, you don't even technically need to watch the first one. It kind of gives you a full, like, you know, kind of wrap up before you get into the film.
Everybody knows how Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man. Everybody in heaven knows. So it's like, we don't need to watch Spider-Man 1, even though I love Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. But we're going to watch
Willem Dafoe. Spider-Man. Yeah, we love him.
Yeah, love William. Okay. But we're going to watch Spider-Man 2 because I think it's the perfect superhero movie that is a little bit campy, a little bit emotional, has some heart, and great action.
That's a great choice. Okay. Your time now to be able to go and enjoy it with your family has come. This is a great take. Take 243, get a little bit of a films that TC would like to be buried with. And then next week is
Patrick.
Oh, it's Patrick.
It is Oppenheimer, Barbie, and I think we're going to try to do Mission Impossible. Does that sound right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Boy, that is going to be just a loaded take.
Sure is. We might even have to break it up into like multiple. I don't even know. I think we should do a triple header. I think we should do all of them at one time.
I agree. Okay. And reminder, Sweet Film Meetup, everybody. July 21st, 7:20 for Barbie at Geneva Megaplex. And then the following day, Saturday at 2:30 p.m., Oppenheimer. Get your tickets. We're there.
Come watch. Come enjoy two nights at the movies with us. You will not regret it.
I'm excited for the Sweet Film Meetup. This is definitely the best Sweet Film Meetup. Two great movies that are very different from each other.
I agree. I'm super excited. And until that Sweet Film Meetup, everybody, please stay so sweet.
Sweet.